and I've done all of it right, and I have a funnel, and I have a freebie, yes, and I have a little upsell, and I'm building my list and whatever CRM system I have in the back end. So it's like all of the pencils are sharpened, but they missed one key, very fundamental first step in the process. And that's developing something that people want to buy.
Amanda Ross here, and this is where you should be if you are a woman entrepreneur who sells services and is working hard to build an engaging online brand. This episode is so fully loaded, guys, with super sweet tips on how to launch your online products successfully with Deb Boulanger. She just gave me everything in this one. It's so cool. You will not be disappointed. We're going to talk about why you should jump for joy if your testing phase goes badly, seriously, why it matters that you visualize the person you want to become, how to validate your business or product idea, why the most compelling message is way simpler than you think, how to find the right price for your product, why there's no one size fits all launch plan, and why you shouldn't start with a little tiny low priced offer. Go big or go home, baby. So welcome to episode 21, even if I said that last week, because apparently I got my math all mixed up, and this is actually episode 21 last week with Lauren Armstrong, with that was episode 20. I don't know how that happened. Don't ask me how it happened. Things happen in my life sometimes, and I don't really know what goes on, and so that's what happened, and we're just going to move on from it, and it's cool. Totally my bad. Let's move on. So this is the Bee Snaps podcast, as you know, and I'm super pumped to have you with me. As always, I'm so grateful for your ears. I adored every moment of this episode, guys. This was amazing, and I loved hearing all the ideas and all the ways that Deb Boulanger has learned over so many years of doing this, that of how to launch an online business or an online product. It's awesome. So she just, honestly, she shared so much, and I really can't wait for you to hear it all. As she was speaking, I was literally thinking about ways I could bring her back to deep dive on a few other topics, because she knows so many things. She's like this brilliant knowledge vault of all this stuff, and I was like, oh my God, we could talk about so many things. So it was super cool, and I loved it, and really, get your pen and paper. You're going to dig it, promise. Deb is the money-making mentor for new women entrepreneurs. As CEO and founder of The Great Do-Over, she coaches founders on how to create products and programs that sell, whether they are launching a business for the first time, relaunching a business that isn't growing, or adding a new product to their offerings. Seriously, like I said, paper and pen, get it. Get it now. Or if you're just with your phone, tappy-tappy, take some notes. Seriously, it's going to be wicked. Now, before we get into it, I just want to remind you of a couple things. A, please subscribe and rate this podcast on iTunes, guys, as soon as you can. The more ratings, the bigger the audience, and the more people I can bring to you. It's the circle of podcast life, people. That's what it is. Podcast life. The circle of it. So if you just thought when I said that, oh my God, I'm so totally going to do that, then what I need you to do is take your phone right now, put a reminder in your calendar right now, because you're going to forget. I know you will. You know you will. Put a reminder in your calendar for a time when you are in front of your computer so that you can go ahead, pop onto iTunes real quick, leave me a review, and I'm going to love you for it. I'm already grateful. If you already thought it, you're amazing. I appreciate you so much. B, head over to Bee Snaps, the Facebook group, where I will be live showing you a bunch of online course content ideas and how to create them in super simple ways, and so that they're so pretty and like look good, because, you know, I want you guys pumping out good stuff. Just a video is not going to cut it anymore in online courses. You got to remember that mixing it up, different types of content actually engages the user at a very different level. We want to engage them, keep them there, keep them coming back. We do not want them to be a person who logs in, takes one friggin' module and never comes back. We want our courses to keep bringing them back. And we do that by building content that engages them and brings them back. So I'm going to show you a bunch of really cool ways to do that and ideas. And I'll be answering questions and doing all the good stuff. All the good stuff. You know, all the good stuff. It is on Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. This Thursday, the 13th. I'm pretty sure. I'm going with the 13th. December 13th, 2018. Okay, let's just get into the episode with Deb and Shay. You guys are going to love it.
Everybody, I'm super excited to have someone really great with you today. She's going to talk to us about product launching, not just product launching, but specifically on sort of in the services area, launching maybe a course or something like that, something that is not so tangible as a physical product that you might sell. So I'm really excited about that because that is exactly what we do around here. So this is Deb Bélanger, and she is the CEO of The Great Do-Over, and she is a business and product launch expert who is focused on the women entrepreneur area. So I'm super excited to have you here, Deb. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
I'm so excited to be here, Amanda.
Yeah, it's amazing. So Deb, tell us everything. Give us the whole scoop on how you got to where you are. Give us everything.
All right. So I found myself burnt out in the corporate world. I had spent about 20 years in various marketing, development, communications roles. And for the last 10 years, I had spent the majority of my time in product development, product management, product marketing in the services sector. So I was working for a $1 billion company, and I was well known and well compensated as an executive who developed products that were very popular with the sales force because they were easy sellers. And when I burnt out, I decided to go out and start coaching other women. And initially, I actually launched my business as a health coach. And then I started realizing that the reason why women had so many health issues was really because of more emotional and psychological issues surrounding self-esteem, self-confidence, self-sabotage. And so I started coaching around that area. But as I was going through my entrepreneurial education and doing these year-long masterminds that everybody, I'm sure, who's listening to this is familiar with, launch courses, how to sell, how to build a $1 million coaching business, I was noticing that most of the other women entrepreneurs around me were failing to launch a successful business, and they were actually bootstrapping themselves back into a job within 2 years and in the process accumulating excessive amounts of debt and yes, investing in the launch, right?
Yes, absolutely. I hear you. I see it all the time.
So what I realized is that the reason why they failed to launch a successful and sustainable business that was growing is because they went right from having a passion to solving a problem and serving a purpose in the world to launching a website, starting to write blogs, posting in social media, and doing online webinars and what Facebook advertising, the whole nine yards, building out funnels. And nobody was coming.
Right. We all want to get to the good stuff, right?
Right. We want to get to the good stuff, right? We want to have all of our ducks in a row, and I've checked those boxes, and I've done all of it right, and I have a funnel, and I have a freebie, and I have a little upsell, and I'm building my list and whatever CRM system I have in the back end. So it's like all of the pencils are sharpened, but they missed one key, very fundamental first step in the process. And that's developing something that people want to buy.
Right. Very important step, Deb.
Very important step, because if you don't have something that people want to buy, or if you haven't differentiated yourself from every other coach and consultant out there, if you don't have a clearly defined ideal client who has a very specific problem that you are uniquely positioned to solve, then number one, you don't have a business. And if you don't have a business, don't spend another dime trying to create a marketing funnel or taking another course. Because the other thing that happens with these new women entrepreneurs is they sign up for one course after another, because you're always chasing the holy grail, figuring out there must be something wrong with me. There must be some lack of knowledge that I'm not getting that other people are doing, and they become successful. And that can, you know, that can bring you broke really quickly. So
absolutely.
When I was, so I've launched, I'm launching a course starting out this January. So the timing, excuse me, the timing for this discussion is actually pretty perfect. I'm calling it right now, the working name is the Passion Project Incubator. When I first started testing the concept, and I want you to pay attention to my words. So I just said testing the concept.
Yes, I did hear that.
And testing the concept with people who would be my ideal clients, what I heard were some heartbreaking stories. Women who had invested tens of thousands of dollars, one well over $100,000.
Oh my gosh.
Not only bootstrapped herself back into a job, but in her 40s ended up living with her parents.
Oh no.
And so my mission and my purpose and what I don't see anyone else doing out there is to catch you when you first have the inkling of an idea that I want to start my own business. Because my formula is mindset plus mechanics plus metrics equals money. And the first thing we need to do is make sure that you have something that people want to buy. Do you have a money-making model? If we projected out who your ideal client is, what your offering is, the per unit charge for your offerings, can you actually make money doing it? So the other mistake I see women entrepreneurs make is they say, you know, well, I want to make at least $100,000, ideally $250,000. And then we model out the business, and for what they're charging, they couldn't possibly hit that number.
Right.
So no matter how hard you try, you're never going to make enough money.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that it's a female thing that we automatically undersell ourselves?
I think it's a couple of things. I think there is a mindset that we tend to undercharge for our services. So yes, Amanda, I think that's absolutely true. Women tend to undervalue. When you undervalue yourself, you will charge less than you want to and less than you deserve. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first M in the formula is mindset, getting into the money-making mindset,
right,
and understanding your value. But the primary reason why most entrepreneurs fail, and it could be men or women, but I don't see men bootstrapping a lot of their own funds and their own savings. Men more often will take a concept and socialize it out to investors and actually not use their own money when they launch a business. Mm. So the first mistake they make is actually not testing their idea. So the first thing you need is what's known in the business is minimum viable product.
Right.
And minimum viable product is what people will buy. And if you are seeking investment dollars, then for sure you need to be able to show your investors that you do have a model that is generating money. If you've ever watched Shark Tank, you know, the first question all of the sharks ask is how many have you sold?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so where is the proof of concept? And to do that, you need to deeply understand who your market is, what their pain points are, what they've already tried, where they're struggling, and what looks like an ideal solution to them. And then you go off and build it. So whenever I meet a new life coach and I say, well, who's your ideal client? And she says, well, anyone from 18 to 80.
I know. I hear you.
You don't have a business model. Or if you're saying, you know, I want to bring the inside outside. You know, no one says that to themselves. You know, so it becomes a hammer in search of a nail. And yes. then the downside of that is the incredible frustration that you feel when your business isn't growing or you're not getting clients and you're not making the income you want. And then that has a negative impact on self-concept, self-esteem. It impacts motivation. Then you're no longer motivated to solve the problem. And then you're feeling like a failure.
Do they then, like, what do they do if they do the testing and it doesn't go well? How do they pull themselves out of that sadness that what they thought people would be excited about, they're not excited about?
You should actually be jumping up and down for joy.
Yes.
When you find out, like 3 months in, that what you thought was a brilliant business idea isn't.
Right.
Because it saved you a ton of money, a ton of heartache, and it enables you to pivot. And the second blessing in that, the second reason why you should be jumping up and down excited to learn that is that in that process of finding out the idea that you thought was going to work isn't going to work, is you likely have uncovered from your conversations in this research what will work. And so not only do you have confirmation that the direction you were going to pursue is a dead end, but you have a new direction that if you're willing to explore, if it also excites you, is a new potential business concept.
I see. And so when you talk about testing and all of this, how do they even decide what to create? Like where do they go from that? If they have 20 ideas, how do they decide? Do they just throw them all out there and see what happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, usually these are very personal stories, right? So it's your true mission and purpose. So there's some defining moment in each of us that is the birth of the big why for us to want to launch a business. And there's either a problem we want to solve, people we want to serve, and there's also someone we want to be. You know, there's the wanting to be the woman I've always wanted to be. You know, in the back of my mind, I might see myself as being braver, having more confidence, speaking in front of crowds, getting my message heard. And there comes a time, especially I think when you're in your 40s, and especially when I've seen women in their 50s, where they're not willing to wait for that to happen any longer. So as the runway gets shorter, the motivation gets stronger.
What do they do when they sort of say, okay, I think I have a good idea? How do they actually validate it? Is it just asking people? Is it doing surveys? Like, what kinds of things can they do to validate this idea?
Absolutely. So you want to tune in to the signal of your ideal client, right? So you want to get crystal clear. So the first thing you can do is look for outside evidence. Are there places where people are already talking about this? Is there evidence that people care about this issue, or that are there communities already being formed around this topic? And if so, that's secondary research. That's evidence that it's important. People are writing about it. Communities are being formed. There are YouTube channels about it. There are Facebook groups talking about it. Then that's outside affirmation that there is a market for it. The second is having conversations with people who may be your ideal clients and who may not be. And that's the number one thing to get right from the start, is who is ideal and who isn't ideal.
Correct.
And understanding, you know, I'm sure you do this from a web development perspective, you know, who are the personas that we're developing for? What is their internal dialogue? What are they saying to themselves about this issue? Too many times we devolve into marketing speak. You know, we try to be fancy about our words and create what we think is a compelling message, when the most compelling message you can deliver out there in the marketplace is what people are actually saying to themselves in their own words.
Right.
Right. So who are they? What problem do they want to solve? What frustrates them? What turns them on? What traumas and triumphs have they gone through? What are their common behaviors? Where do they hang out? Who do they follow? What issues do they care about? Why do they need you? And so having those discussions initially maybe in groups, you can join Facebook groups, you can start being a participant in the discussion, learning about people, then you might want to invite certain people to have a private conversation with you. You know, gee, I have this idea, I'd love to run it by you and get your take on it. Would that be okay?
When I was in corporate, we would bring physical clients in and say, you know, this is what we're considering doing. But we can do the same thing in the online format, right? It's not like you're really losing a lot by not physically meeting with the person.
Well, I think you do. You don't have to physically meet with them. I think you have to have conversations. I think the first proof of concept is, number one, are people talking about this? Is there a market for it? Are people having discussions around it? And then the second step is to have conversations with people who are involved in this issue. So let's be more concrete. So in my case, it's women who are launching their businesses. So for me to build out the Passion Project Incubator as a course and as a mastermind group, the first thing I did was reach out to women entrepreneurs who had already launched and ask them, you know, I asked them, what was the hardest part of this for you? What do you wish you knew when you started? how much did you spend trying to, how much did you invest trying to get to the solution? What is it that you wish you had? And then I have my concept. I already know what I'm planning to launch. And then I ask them bit by bit, how does this sound? And then you also need to test pricing. And there's a unique way to test pricing based on a value-based discussion. So you don't ask people, well, would you invest $5,000 in this? Would you invest $10,000 in this? You ask them, you probe them about the value of the ultimate solution to them. You know, what is it worth to you to be able to have this solved? So when I talk to women entrepreneurs who would like to launch a business and don't want to spend 1 to 3 years chasing their tails or going in circles trying to get it right, and they would like to get it right within the first 6 to 12 months, the value of that is extraordinary, to have a path to follow step by step, right? So would you invest $10,000 in that? Would you invest $12,000 in that? Would you invest $5,000 in that? There's a way to getting at that. To get to the pearls of having these conversations, so there's a specific structure. So just like in the corporate world, you'd bring people in and have focus groups. You can have focus groups. You can do online surveys. I think the benefit of doing primary research by having a conversation is that you don't know what you don't know. And when people are talking about their definition of solving the problem and what they wish they had, then they're able to pull out these pearls of wisdom. So one of my clients is launching an online site that connects people who appreciate musical performance with musicians and performances and venues. So it enables them to search in a centralized way and enables the artists a place to be found and enables the patrons to discover new artists and to have ticketing right there. So today, my client and I were going through her primary market research, and it was interesting because there were ideas that people she interviewed had come up with that she hadn't considered that were pretty cool.
Right.
And then we also found out that the most important aspect for people who appreciate the arts and go to musical performances was having the ticketing built in right there. So there she's got her definitions of what APIs does she have to go after in the build out of this online application in order to have that key component, that key criteria to be met. So these are the things, and people are so glad to do the market research after they've done it.
Yeah.
Before they've done it, they're like, oh, what do you mean? I have to talk to strangers and that feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
And, you know, after the first couple of interviews, it's like, wow, this is so cool. I'm mm-hmm. really figuring this out. So whether you're a consultant who helps other business owners to make better financial decisions. It's one of my other clients who was undercharging for her services. In our very first conversation, I asked her, how can I refer to you? Because this was a partnership call. And she said, well, you can't because I'm fully booked. And I said, well, congratulations. That means you've hit your number. She said, no, far from it. So she was actually working harder, putting in more hours than she did in the corporate world, making a lot less money and spending a lot less time with her family. Oh. And that was exactly opposite, you know, the reasons why she did this.
Yeah, of course.
So we've done the market research. We immediately raised her prices. So typically when I work with clients, the first thing we do is raise your rates. So you get an immediate raise.
Well, everybody likes that.
And everybody likes that. And everyone deserves that. And,
yes.
And with few exceptions, most women entrepreneurs I work with are undercharging for their services. And so getting clear on who your ideal client, and then she got very clear that she was working with a bunch of people who were not her ideal clients. And so we've, you know, tapered those people off, and then we've started making room to invite more of the ideal clients in, getting a clearer definition on that and going where they go, speaking their language, putting together a signature talk. So having a money-making talk is something else that helps you get out there and attract more people to you. So in order to grow a business, you need to be seen and heard. So once you get your messages right, then it's a matter of getting out there, being seen and heard, and growing your client base.
And now, it's in terms of an actual product launch, is there a one size fits all for this? Is there a formula?
Is there a formula for a product launch? No. I think there is, you know, I think there are master components yes. to a successful launch. And I don't believe there is a one size fits all for all offerings or all businesses. And that's where I think this whole online education world and online gurus and product launches fails, because there is no one size fits all. You know, for some, a traditional online product launch, there are certain best practices, right? So let's call it out to the best practices. Number one, you need a methodology to collect email addresses. Right. Boom, right? You need to connect, cultivate, and convert your ideal client. So you need to collect email addresses. Two, you need a way to cultivate relationships with those people, either through email, through video, through Facebook groups, through live speaking engagements.
Right.
You know, you want to be able to cultivate that audience, and then you want to give them opportunities to convert into being your clients. If you start your product launch from the bottom up, if you start your launch with a low-end offer, you will never make enough money.
Right.
Right. So you always start from the middle out or the top down.
You know, you talked about it already, the money thing. How do people actually decide? How do they know if they're undervaluing themselves? Is there a way that they can figure that out? Or is it that someone else has to kind of shake them and say, you're way off base here?
Yeah. So as far as the money making model goes, there's a couple of different variables. Number one is what you're charging for your services. Number two is how you're packaging your services and what services that you're offering. So if you're going to get into the multiple six figures, heading toward $1 million, there's likely no way you're doing that selling time for dollars, unless you're Tony Robbins or, you know, a very, very high-end coach that's getting, you know, $20,000 per client on average a year, or $50,000 or $100,000.
Right.
You know, if you're getting $100,000 per client per year, you have 100 clients, you can make $1 million.
Right.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. So what you want to do is you want to look at your business model. So when I said top down, you know, if you're a coach or a consultant, your time is a premium. So you reserve that for a set of high paying clients. And then you need to build in leverage. And I'm all for, by the way, Amanda, I'm all for lifestyle businesses. If your goal is to make $100,000, $150,000 a year, support a good lifestyle for you and your family, bless you. Mm-hmm. That is a viable business model, and there's nothing wrong with that. No one says that you have to be a multiple six-figure earner or you have to get to $1 million. If you're happy and sustaining the lifestyle that you want to live, then that's your goal.
Right.
And that's beautiful and that's golden.
Yeah.
If you want to get bigger, you have to build in leverage to your business. That means there's something there that's a one-to-many model, whether it's a course, and I know you help a lot of coaches and consultants build out their courses online. Courses are a great way to package group programs and group offerings. So you want to look at your money-making model, making sure that you're not starting with a $10 a month community offering. Because unless you have a community of tens of thousands of people, there's no way you can make enough money to survive.
I know a lot of people, when they do start out like this, that's exactly what they do. They start out with something really small, like a $5 ebook or something like that. Do you think that is a smart way to go? Or do you think it's like, you know what, just really go for it. Go for your big money maker, your big course, or your big item that's, you know, $5,000.
Go for your big course or your big money maker,
yeah.
Because you don't need a big community to do that. You don't even need a website. You know, maybe you need a page, a landing page that describes who you are, but you don't need a funnel to do that. You don't need anything except a deep understanding of your ideal client, an understanding of your offering and how you're pricing it and how you're delivering that. And then you need a money-making talk that attracts your ideal client. So I have clients who do just fine in their business by getting speaking opportunities in real life.
That's something, you know, just as an aside, you know, the speaking thing, I need to get somebody on here and talk about that, because I think that's such a key component that a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah, and the whole online business of conducting webinars, if you think about it, we're so webinared out right now.
I know.
It's like the last thing I want to do is carve out another hour in my day to get on someone's webinar that may or may not be of value to me. But if there's a community, whether that's a face-to-face community or an online community that is actively discussing an issue that I care passionately about, then I will spend my time there. And if there's a Facebook Live and it's 10, 15 minutes and someone's delivering some tips that way, you know, I'll spend my time there. That's a way to cultivate a community to convert into a higher end offering. And then when you are doing a launch, when you are doing a product launch, then you're creating engagement with your audience ahead of time. You're asking them about their biggest challenges and what they want to know most. You're addressing those biggest challenges in your launch videos. And then you're making an offer for them to do business with you.
Right.
And so I think online offerings are not dead. I think online launches are very much alive. And I think what we're doing is we're coming into an age where it's all about connection and community. They want to know you. They want to know who you are. And to do that, sometimes they need to hang out in your presence. So can you launch a business with a $5 offering? No. Can you cultivate an audience with a $5 offering? Maybe. Is it the right $5 offering? What happens after I buy the $5 ebook? Is there a community that I get to belong to? Is there something else that happens? Is there another opportunity to engage with you in a more personal way? So the whole entire engagement strategy needs to be thought through.
Right. Yeah, but absolutely. But
that sometimes can feel daunting to people and their eyes glaze over. And so the most important thing for you to do is get out there and talk and find out where your ideal clients hang out. You can do a talk at a local library. You can join a variety of women's networking groups. I joined a networking group last year, and it was a substantial investment. It was $500 for the year to join this networking group, and they asked me to do a webinar. And I said, sure, you know, here are these topics. I can talk on these three or four topics. And they picked one, and I sort of forgot about it. And I did. And then it showed up on my calendar a couple of months later. I was like, oh, okay. And this was a talk that I had given three or four times before. I had it in the can. So I called the organizer. I said, okay, how many people have registered? And she said, 550.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I did the talk. There were 200 women who showed up live and stayed for the entire hour. So
wow.
Part of this, too, is when you have the right message and you're connecting with the right audience, is how do you create a money-making talk that sticks, that keeps people engaged for the full hour?
Mm-hmm.
So I had 200 stay for the full hour. 68 wanted to have a conversation with me afterwards.
Wow.
So the other key message there is, when you do speak, you need to be making an offer for people to take it further with you. And it might be an offer to buy something. It might be an offer to have a conversation for your higher end offering. So, and I'm happy, Amanda, I don't know where you post these, but I'd be happy to do virtual Q&A if this spurs ideas or questions for anyone in the audience.
Oh, for sure. That's amazing.
So the bottom line, the message in that was be seen and heard. Look for as many avenues to speak, to connect with your ideal clients, because sometimes we don't even know who our ideal clients are. And one way to get clarity on that, you know, on one hand, you can do market research and interview people. On the other hand, you can write and speak and see who resonates with your message and then get to know those people better.
Right.
And then it's a matter of just replicating that over and over and over again and not necessarily reinventing the wheel all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Our time is coming to a close here, Deb, which sucks because I love everything that you're talking about and you have so much experience in this. And I just feel like I could just talk to you about so many other things other than this topic. but I'm going to shut it down because, you know, I don't want to, I want people to come to you if they want to know more, because I'm sure they're also going, oh, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about that. They can come to you and they can ask those questions. But before you go, tell me first, what are three things they can implement right now? What can they do today after listening to you? Or what should they do today right after listening to you? What three things should they do?
Well, number one is assess whether or not you have a money-making model. You know, if you projected, and here we are, we're recording this at the end of 2018. If you look at the next year ahead, the next 12 months ahead, and you took the average value of a sale and you multiplied that out, or you divided that by the amount of money you want to make. So if it's $100,000 and your average sale is $1,000, then you need to sell 100 of them during the year. Number one, is that doable? Number two, who is your ideal client? And are you reaching your ideal client? And are you actively cultivating relationships with your ideal client? So it might require having some conversations with people and doing a little bit of market research. And number three is pricing your products and services. So you can immediately have an impact on your revenue by evaluating, where am I selling myself short? Where am I not delivering as much value as I could? Or where am I just undercharging? And where within me, what within me needs to change from a self-confidence, self-esteem? Because remember, it's money, it's mindset plus mechanics plus metrics that equals money. The mindset is, how am I valuing myself? The mechanics is, how am I going about reaching my ideal clients? And the metrics is looking at and measuring, how well am I doing? And is it possible for me to hit my numbers going on the current trajectory? And that's how you make money.
I loved everything in this. It's amazing. So Deb, tell me, where can they find you? How do we find you? How do we connect with you?
Mm-hmm. You can go to thegreatdoover.com, and or you could just email me and say, let's talk, and mention that you heard me on Amanda Ross's podcast, and we can have a conversation. I have a business launch framework on thegreatdoover.com. If you go to thegreatdoover.com and enter into the work door, what is your greatest desire? It's work. And you can download that. Yeah, so I have a market research discussion guide that you can download. Amanda, I forgot the URL for it because I wrote it while I was on the plane. I wrote it on the plane this month when I was going to another speaking gig.
Yeah.
So if people want to get in touch with me directly, they can just email deb@thegreatdoover.com.
Okay.
They can go to thegreatdoover.com and download the business launch blueprint if that's something that you're interested in taking a look at. All of the steps for launching a business are there. And we'll post the link for the market research interview discussion guide below this podcast.
You got it. Yes, we will.
Okay.
Amazing. Deb, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you sharing all this knowledge. I'm so excited to share this with everybody. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Amanda.
All right. Now, serious. You and I both know that you are totally feeling the power of that right now, right? You are. I am. So are you. Get to it. Take some ideas from that and do something with them. So that was amazing. She just shared. She just was like, blah, here's all the things. And I was like, I will totally take that. Amazing. It was awesome. If you want more from Deb, head over to thegreatdoover.com to get more from her right now. All right, and this Thursday, December 13th, 2018, as I mentioned before, I will be holding a live Facebook. It is called Embrace These Online Course Delivery Methods and Engage Your Audience with Beautiful Content. We're going to look at a bunch of content types, like I said. I'm going to show you how to bring them in the mix it up. We want to engage our users, make sure they're loving the course, make sure they're feeling our vibe, doing all the good things, how to design them, some cool tools. I'm going to show you some stuff. It's going to be fun. So head on over there, get into B-Snaps, the Facebook group. Join me December 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And again, B-Snaps, just like the podcast. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Have a kick-ass day.